Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 16. This is Mark's account of the risen Lord. So when the Sabbath was over, Sabbath is always a Saturday. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. And very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they're on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up and they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. And later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. May God give us understanding of his word this morning. Amen. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's day. And we praise you each and every day, not just on Sundays, but this is the Sunday that we remember, the first day of the week, that you did rise again from the dead. And this story, this true story, may be familiar, maybe unfortunately over familiar, but teach us something new this morning. And may you speak to each one of us and teach us as individuals. Help us by your Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On that first Easter Sunday morning, as the dawn was breaking over Jerusalem, the world would be forever changed. When an angel delivered a special message a message that is still just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. The Bible tells us that three women, as mentioned, the two Marys and Salome, they went to the tomb of a man they believed to have been the chosen one of Israel. They believed that he was the Messiah, but now he was dead. They saw it with their very own eyes as he was crucified on the cross, and he died. He just didn't faint and was taken down. He died on that cross. He had to die on the cross in order to pay the penalty for our sins. Amen. Certainly, they were very upset. They believed he was the Messiah. They loved Jesus. They were confused. They believed he was the Messiah, the chosen one. They were heartbroken. You know what it's like when you've lost a loved one? You're heartbroken. That's how he was. They were. And they felt defeated as they went towards the tomb where they believed he was laid. The tomb belonged to a very rich man, a Pharisee named Joseph of Arimathea. And he was willing to step out away from the religious group to declare himself a disciple of Jesus. And he went to Pontius Pilate, the governor, and asked for Jesus' body so he could put it in his tomb so Jesus wouldn't be buried in a pauper's grave. He stepped up. He wasn't afraid to declare that he was a Christian. And he would suffer the consequences of that and be criticized and ostracized and abused by the religious people. As the ladies came nearer to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, they felt depressed, demoralized, bemused, confused. They were very worried also that they wouldn't be able to roll the stone away. In the tombs of Israel, they had these massive, big, heavy stones, and there would be a ditch in front of the opening, and the stone would be pushed by some very strong men, and it would fall into that ditch, and it was virtually immovable. The only way you could get it out there is by probably using some animals to pull it out. And they assumed, well, how are we going to get into the tomb if the stone's going to be blocking the entrance? So anyway, by faith, they went by faith, believing, I guess the Lord was directing them and leading them to go there, not knowing what they would find. They assumed they were going to find a dead man in the tomb to anoint his body, to put the spices on his body and the ointments. So by faith, they went, hoping for the best, to do their work, to honor the Lord's body. And when they came inside of the tomb, they were very surprised to see that the entrance to the grave was open and the stone rolled away. And seeing this, they ran in, only to find the body of Jesus was gone. And they probably suspected that some grave robbers had gone in there and stole his body, taken it, buried it in a shallow grave somewhere. So they were even more confused than they were before. He's gone. What happened to him? Then suddenly, imagine being those ladies, fear gripped their hearts. The women noticed what appeared to be, it says, a young man. And sometimes angels can take human form. And the Bible says that's why we need to be hospitable, because we might be entertaining angels unawares. And you might have entertained an angel unawares and didn't even know it. You thought it was another human being. I've got a story about that years and years ago. I came into some money having had that motorcycle accident, the first one, almost got killed, got some insurance money, and I bought this van. And it was a van that was converted where you could sell hot dogs and hamburgers. Why they call them hamburgers over here, and they made them out of beef, I'll never know. Because where I'm from, a ham is a pig anyway. So I got this van. I thought, well, I don't like working for anybody else. I'll start my own business with the money, some of the money that I got from the insurance company. I never made any money, but I certainly gave out a lot of tracts. And the Lord used that ministry. And, you know, I normally wait till all the drunkards came out of the clubs and that, and they would buy the hot dogs, hopefully buy the hot dogs and not tip my van over. Remember driving away one time with the burners flaming because they were trying to tip my van over. Yeah. And I managed to escape. And where are we going with this? Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'd be out there. You wouldn't see anybody. I got one of the worst spots in the city. And one night, this fella came up, elderly. And he looked like a kind of a hobo, a homeless type person. But his clothes were clean, right? And I thought, this is weird. And of course, I assumed he didn't have any money because he was homeless. And I used to have soup. You know, just that stuff you add water to it, you know. And I thought, I'd give this guy a soup, I'd give him a hot dog or whatever, you know, help him along his way. Never said a word. And then I looked away, and then I looked back, and he was gone. Just vanished. And I thought, I think that was an angel. I think the Lord put that angel there just to, you know, because I was by myself, and he just sent him along as a bit of an encouragement or a test, I don't know. But I really believe to this day that was an angel. Anyway, let's go back. The ladies, this wasn't a figment of their imagination. They saw this young man dressed in a long white robe. And in Matthew 28, he gives us a bit more information. He said he was sitting on top of the stone. Mark doesn't tell us that. But this angel, imagine, this angel was sitting on top of the stone. And this so-called man, young man, he was the angel. And realizing that those women were scared to death, they were absolutely petrified. Who wouldn't be? And he delivered a message of hope that has and still, that still is the power to change people's lives forever. Has your life been changed? Because you've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. And he says, don't be alarmed in this version. It means, don't be afraid. Yeah, saying that is one thing. But they were very afraid and scared to death. He says, don't be alarmed, don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. So he tells them the first time. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. He is risen from the dead twice. Again, emphasizing, he is risen three times. And Jesus is still risen. Only Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, not all the other religious leaders like Buddha or Confucius or Mohammed. You can go to Mohammed's tomb. In Mecca, that's where his bones are. But you'll never find the body of Jesus Christ because he's the only one that rose again from the dead because he is God. I and my Father are one, Jesus said. He is alive. And anyone, whether they're a Buddhist or a Mohammedan, a Muslim, or whoever they are, whatever country they were born in, if they can confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, they shall be saved. Because with the mouth, you confess what's in the heart. What you believe in the heart will come out of the mouth. So if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I hope you have been. Only you know that, and the Lord as well. You can become spiritually alive. Once we were dead, spiritually dead, but you can become spiritually alive. Having received Jesus as your personal Savior, our sins can be forgiven and washed away. Our old self is dead as far as God is concerned, having been reborn, spiritually reborn. Jesus says you must be born again to see the kingdom of God and to enter into the kingdom of God. You must, Jesus said, you must be born again. Romans chapter 6, verse 8, it says, now if we died with Christ, talking to believers, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. He's risen from the dead, and one day we will rise from the dead. We will receive a resurrected body just like his. Every saved sinner is a testimony to the life-changing, life-giving power of the risen Lord Jesus. Only a living Jesus can work miracles in a person's life. Amen? Only he can do it. And he still does, because he is alive. He's not dead. He is risen, just like the angel said three times. And then the angel goes on to tell him, these petrified ladies, go, tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you into Galilee, that you will see him there just like he told you. Jesus always told the truth. Amen? So the angel liked to remind these ladies that the promise that Jesus made to his followers before he was crucified, that he would rise again from the dead. They didn't get it, and they still didn't believe it until they saw him with their very own eyes. Jesus always keeps his promises. Amen? So people don't always keep their promises. You can always rely on Jesus and what he says to be true. He is the truth. So these ladies, they're in a state of shock and fear, bemused, bothered, and bewildered. They didn't need to be told twice when the angel told them to go, skedaddle, get, go. And they did. They didn't need to be told twice. They ran out of that tomb as fast as their little legs. I assume they had little legs. They ran out as fast as their legs could carry them. It says, verse 8, trembling. It's not every day you get to see an angel, is it? Or do you? Trembling and bewildered. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They just didn't stroll out. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. It doesn't say it, but I can just imagine the angel saying, ready, steady, go. But it doesn't say that. They didn't need to be told twice. They got out of Dodge, pronto. Actually, the tomb. When they first came to the tomb, those women felt, like I said, very depressed, despondent, defeated, demoralized, expecting to see a dead man. But by rising again from the dead, Jesus conquered death. And anyone who is willing, and there's the key word, willing, because many are not willing, to receive him who is life as their Savior, shall also receive everlasting life and will never die. We'll die physically, like, yes, but we will live eternally, because God can never die. He's always existed. Somebody asked the question, came up on the computer there. Where did God come from? God has always existed. There's never been a time when he didn't exist. He is eternal. And we will live eternally with him as long as you receive eternal life. Jesus is the life, the way, and the truth. Now, when these women did leave the tomb in a great hurry, that would have been, I'd love to have seen that. See these ladies come scooting out of the tomb as fast as they could. They left with an attitude of optimism, with joy in their hearts, but they were still scared to death. But they had that promise, believing by faith what the angel told them, that Jesus, that they would see Jesus again. They believed by faith that they would see him again. And they did see him again. And one day, we will see him face to face, either as our Savior or as our judge. We don't want to face him as our judge. We want to see him face to face. He's going to allow us into his heaven and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Are we faithful to the Lord? He wants us to be. You can be. But you have to be willing. God doesn't want to condemn anybody. We don't condemn anybody. I said that in the message last week. Apparently somebody never got that message when I said that we do not condemn anybody, but we have to tell the truth. People are condemned already, Jesus said, because they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. They're already condemned. But God doesn't want them to remain in that condition. He wants to save them so they can go to heaven and be with him when they die. But like many of those skeptics that we read about this morning, the ladies went and told a group of his believers, Jesus followers, and they told him that what had happened, and they met the angel, and he told them that Jesus is alive, he's not there, he's risen from the dead. They didn't believe them. They didn't believe the ladies. There's three witnesses. But they still didn't believe them. And then they went to the disciples, or prior to that, there was a couple of others that they were told in the country. They didn't believe. Then they went to the disciples, 11 of them. Judas Iscariot had already committed suicide. He wasn't a true believer. These ladies went to the 11, the remaining 11 apostles, said Jesus is alive. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him until he actually appeared to them in the upper room, in the flesh. But seeing is not always believing, is it? Seeing is not always believing, because seeing is not of faith. Faith is believing what you cannot see. All right, it's easy to believe. Okay, there's a glass of water there. You see that? Am I holding up a glass of water? You believe that because you can see it. All right, but how about seeing with the eyes of faith of what Jesus did for you on that cross? That he died on that cross to save you from your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the dead. But though there's so many millions of people that are so skeptical and they do not believe the truth. Faith is believing what you cannot see with your physical eyes. And we may not, I've never seen the risen Lord Jesus. One day I will. I know. I've never seen him with my physical eyes, but we have the same promise that one day we shall see him. We shall see him. Just imagine that, seeing Jesus face to face. So, that first Easter Sunday morning, an angel, a young man, he says, looked like a young man, but he wasn't, he was an angel. He delivered the most important message ever delivered in the history of mankind. He is not here. He is risen. Now, believers in Jesus Christ can praise the Lord, not only on Easter Sunday, not only every Sunday, and I wish you were here every Sunday, but every day we can praise the Lord, knowing not only did he die on the cross to wash away our sins, which he did, but he also rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. Not that we deserved it, not that we earned it, because of his mercy, he saved us. How about you, those of you listening to this message? Do you know that you have had your sins forgiven this morning? Do you know that? Only you can answer that question. Do you know that Jesus is still alive? That he is not dead? That he is risen from the dead? And he's still in the soul-saving business, because he hasn't changed. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is eternal. You know, he's still blessing people today. And he can fill your heart with peace. You know, that's what everyone in this world is looking for, is peace and joy. And they try this and they try that, and they realize that that's not where it's at. That's not where it's found. You can only find true godly peace when you find Jesus, or when Jesus finds you, because he goes looking for that lost sheep, because he cares about that lost sheep. He'll leave the 99, but he'll go after that one who is still lost, because he loves every one of us. He's still in the blessing business. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us joy. But you need to ask him to save you. He is alive. And what the angel said back then is just as true today. And the word of God is true. He's not here, he's risen. And if you see your need to receive peace and joy and eternal life and a reason to live, then receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the choice that you have to make, if you're willing. If you're not willing, that means you make the choice to reject him. If you don't receive him, then the opposite is true. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you don't receive a gift, you reject the gift. And God wants you to receive the gift of his Son. It's a free gift, but it cost him a lot on that cross. It cost him his life's blood. Believe by faith, not what you see with your physical eyes, what Jesus has done for you on that cross, and dying for you and rising again from the dead. Believe it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. Go to the living Lord Jesus to receive everlasting life, to save your soul, so that you can live eternally just like him. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for the promises in your word. Your word is true. And we know that you are alive. We know, and we know for sure. But there's some maybe listening that hopefully they're not going to be as skeptical as some of those people were, that when the ladies told them that you were alive, they didn't believe it. Give them the faith to believe that you are alive. You're the only one that rose again from the dead. Not all the other religious leaders, not all the religions of the world follow you. They're lost. because they have not received the truth that you are the way, the only way. You are the truth. You always told the truth, and you are the life. Only you can give spiritual life. We can receive spiritual life by receiving you only in this life. So when we do die, we won't have to face your condemnation, your judgment for our sins, the things that we've done wrong in our life, because all sin is against you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sinners need a Savior. And all they need to do is go to you by faith and ask you and say, Jesus, Lord, I know I am a sinner, but I believe in my heart that you are God, that you died on that cross to take away my sins, that you were buried in the tomb, and I believe in my heart that you rose again from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life and save me, and I will thank you now and throughout all eternity. Amen. Shall we stand together to be dismissed? Seeing is not believing. I said to the three girls earlier, I said, I got some chocolates for you. They didn't see the chocolates, but they believed I'm going to give it to them. So, let's pray. And now may the Lord bless you. And may the Lord encourage you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace and eternal joy in this life and in the world to come. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.